So if I took them on as a client, they would have been a bad client. Does that make sense? Am I bashing enough people?
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener, it's Wednesday morning, and you are listening to session number 9 of the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast. Quick update, I will be at the World Domination Summit this weekend, so if you're around, hit me up. The contact page on smartbrandmarketing.com is now active, so use that. Today, we will go more in depth into why it is so crucially important to niche down in your business. Our guest used this exact technique to build up his agency to $14 million in revenue and sold it. His name is Jason Swank, with an E, so let's get to it. I never considered building up an agency to the scale that you've built it up. And that's just because I don't want to have to be at some location the whole day. And I know that's what you need to do to build something up like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can do it. If I was building another agency, I could do it differently and build it up probably past that revenue and probably have hardly any people.
How? Give it to me.
You know, one of the first things I would do is, and where everybody messes up is they don't know who they're targeting, right? Because they just say, I can help everybody. And so a lot of agency owners I talk to and I show them, I'm like, look, we can generate leads every day for you. And they're like, well, how do you do that? Because literally I get anywhere from 25 to 55 leads on any given day, every day. And every agency can do this. And it's not that hard, but you need to understand who you actually serve and what are their biggest challenges first. That's the foundation. That's the do not pass go without knowing your niche and who you actually serve. And so when you do that, then you start to understand their biggest challenges. And then what the agencies have an ability to do is just like you said in kind of the pre-show, they can create passive income. They're already getting paid for their knowledge and their work. But there's ways that you can turn that into an online program where you can get paid daily and you can get paid and get leads every day by the knowledge that you exclusively know. So for example, like your SEO agency, I don't know it too well, but I would say there's a lot of things that you know that most people don't know. And then you go through the same things over and over, the same process with those clients. You can turn that into an online program or a tool or a workshop or an event where you can have multiple people coming in, where now you have that scalability. You know, for example, like my agency, when I would get a big project, means I'd probably have to hire more people. And this model, you can do it a little bit differently. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I mean, I bet everyone that's listening is still stuck on the 30 to 55 leads per day. Mm-hmm. How am I going to get those leads? Yeah, creating events, things like that. But how am I going to get those people in? I bet everyone that's listening is like, just how?
Yeah. So I bet almost every listener that's saying how is they don't have a laser focused niche, right?
I agree with you on that.
Right. So by not having a laser focused niche, they don't know the biggest challenge, right? So my niche is I work with agency owners to take them to the next level. I work with them from getting unstuck, how to generate leads, how to generate cash flow, all that. I understand my market. So then I can develop a lead generation source, for example, like an opt-in or a lead magnet, kind of like a lot of info marketers call it, where here's what agencies always do wrong and almost every website does wrong, is they say, join my newsletter, subscribe now to get my BS marketing materials and my awful newsletter, right? Just to be frank. And that's what they do. Versus if you look at my site at jasonswank.com, you'll see it says, discover how to convert 80% of your marketing proposals. Okay, I want to do that.
And that's why I brought you in, because niching down is something that a lot of people tell you to do, but the hard part is, how? And I have quite a few questions when it comes to that. But let me ask you, first of all, why niche down?
So your time is so limited, especially for probably a lot of your listeners and a lot of my listeners, right? Everybody has a limited basis of time. And their biggest excuse is, I don't have the time in order to create content. I don't have the time to figure out my niche. I'm like, well, there's never a good time to do it. But as soon as you do it, you will actually have more time, because then you can have repeatability, if that's a word, or if I just made up a word, who knows? But then you have scalability, because then as you start working in a particular niche, things will get more streamlined. You'll understand it better, and you'll actually get more efficient at doing that work. So for example, let's say you were just working with the hospitality industry doing SEO, and then you learn something very valuable that you could apply to the next hospitality doing SEO, which basically took your 100 hours that you used to spend down to 75 hours. You do that project again, it may take it down to 50 hours, but you're still charging for the 100 hours. And so when you niche down, you start to get more time. You also start to really figure out, you know, what publications are these guys reading? What technologies are they using? Who are they following? Who do I need to do strategic partners with? And it just makes everything so much clearer. That's the reason why you niche down. The biggest thing is people look at, like, I'm basically developing a segment on my website. It's called WTF.
I like that.
And I'm probably going to launch it next week. And basically, it's where I review bigger agencies' websites and I tell you what they're doing wrong. Because here's what happens is the smaller agencies or the smaller companies look at the bigger guys and they mirror them. And most of the time, the bigger guys are doing things completely wrong. Like, for example, let's say you look at a big agency and they have so many industries and there's no clear niche. I mean, they're doing everything. And people are like, well, I need to do that because I want to be where they're at. But they didn't start out there. Like, for example, Moxie Interactive, they started out just working with Verizon on the B2C side. And then they started branching to other markets. Same thing with my old agency, Solar Velocity. We started out, you know, working with a particular tool or a Sitefinity, a content management system. Then we started branching out to SharePoint and so on. But we only started branching out when we could bring in practice directors and more people to control that niche and to run that niche. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So let me ask you, how to justify it in your head that I will niche down? Because at that same time, I'm thinking I'm losing 99% of the people out there. And you probably know from Shark Tank, right? Everyone comes on saying, if I just get 1% of this whole industry, I will be a billionaire. And I think that's when people start agencies. That's what they're thinking. If I niche down to, let's say, hospitality, I'm leaving all these other guys on the table. How do I justify that?
Yeah, I love Shark Tank. I'm a huge fan of it. Just to say that, I'm just a huge fan of those guys. I mean, I love that format. It's just cool. My wife watches it and she's like, I can't believe you're watching this. They're destroying these people. I'm like, well, these people should learn. But I had a conversation, to get back on topic, I had a conversation with a client and we were talking about a niche and we found a great niche for them that they could just dominate and they could be the authority. They could establish credibility really quick. They would have clients calling them every day. We're like, great. I'm like, okay, let's go change your website. Whoa, I don't want to change the website because they did exactly what you said. I'm going to turn down all the people coming to my website. So I asked them a really easy question. I said, how many leads are you getting to your website a week? None. It's not going to affect it in a bad way. You're losing more leads because you're not a narrow focused. Like, for example, if you put on your website, hopefully you all have a certain criteria of the type of customer or client you're taking on. If you do not, you're losing and you're taking on the wrong client and you're going to have bad clients or bad customers. If you have a certain criteria, put that on your homepage. I guarantee you, if you do a split test and you said, I only help out companies in the healthcare space that are struggling with this challenge or this challenge. If you're struggling with these challenges, I may be able to help you versus we're a healthcare company or we help healthcare or we help small business. Small business is not a niche.
Yeah, you told me that before. Does this work for any industry, niching down, or does it only work for something like agencies, in your opinion?
Works on every type of business. You know, you have to know who your customer or your client is. I mean, think about Facebook, right? Everybody uses Facebook, billions and billions. I mean, they got more users than some countries, right? But think about how they started. They started out very exclusive. Ivy League students, that's it.
So what you recommend is to niche down initially and then expand to other markets?
If you want, yes. As you dominate and you prove a repeatable model, then you can go after more people. Like, so for example, we niched down and it took us a little while to figure that out, but we had substantial growth after we niched down and we started getting tons of leads. I mean, and we got clients like LegalZoom and Hitachi. Those were all leads that called us. We didn't do any outbound going after those guys. And so we only got that because we specialized and we were the best in the world at this specialty. No one could touch us.
How did you figure it out, though? Because I know you mentioned you guys figured it out. Did you have some kind of a method or did you guess that this might be the niche that we're going to go after?
Stupid luck. I mean, to be honest with you. So we developed our own, like every agency, you want to develop a product because you want that repeatable model. But then what any service-based company that does kind of billable work, when you get more clients and you get a lot of work, what goes to waste? Your internal stuff. And so we had our own content management system we developed back in 2001. It was kind of ahead of its time before any of these other CMSs. And we just didn't have time in order to update it anymore. And so I didn't want to deliver a crappy product to my clients. So we started looking for another solution. And we found this great company at the time called Sitefinity that was a great content management system back then. And we knew that the companies that we were targeting, it would be a perfect fit and that there was an opportunity where we could become the best for them, the best partner. And then they could generate a lot of leads back to us because we did everything, all the customization and implementation. We knew it better than they did. And so that's kind of how we fell into it.
So if someone is starting out now with building an agency and they're thinking, they're listening to this, they're saying, okay, I'm going to niche down, how would they do it? Because if you fell into it by luck, it still kind of means maybe that they still have to build a normal agency, finally figure out which one of my clients I want to work with, and then they can niche down. Can they skip that step? Is there any advice you can give someone like that?
Yeah, you can't really skip a step of figuring out a niche. I mean, you can, and you'll hit a certain level, right? So a lot of people that this guy's full of, you know what? You know, I've built a $1 million agency and I didn't niche. Well, great, but you're at a cap. You're not going to bust through any more levels because you're too broad and you're probably always relying on referrals and that kind of stuff. But, you know, in order to do a niche, you have to figure out their biggest challenge. I mean, that's it. What I do in one of my programs that I have is I walk them through exercises of figuring out, go through their past clients. Figure out what's the most profitable. What's the common challenges that they're having? What do they have the most passion in? What do they understand better than most? And then start thinking about, well, is there an opportunity for that niche? I mean, I work with people that have niches that one of the people that's a friend of mine, he's a tattoo prophet. He reads tattoos. Another one trains Power Ranger stuntmen.
That's a serious niche right there.
I mean, you can't make that stuff up. So, you know, there's no wrong niche. I mean, if you think of like, I think Dan Kennedy, which hopefully all marketers know, he says there's no wrong niche. You can never go down far enough because if you go down far enough, you can be the best and you can dominate it. And then you can charge on the value that you want.
The one thing I've seen is that this niching down thing has been really popular. And I've seen people picking a niche, going into it all in, realizing they don't like the clients that they're now working with. What should they do?
Well, they don't like the clients for probably two different reasons. And two reasons alone, I just wrote a post on it. There's no such thing as a bad agency client. There's only a bad process that you have managing them because you didn't set the expectations or any of that, or you have a bad prospect to start off with and you didn't have a criteria that stopped them from being a client. We turned down 40% of the leads and opportunities that came to us because they did not meet our criteria. And it was probably higher than that. So those are two reasons alone.
So let's back up a little bit. I bet people are still wondering, how do you start an agency, like you said you could, and get those 30 to 55 leads in your niche? Like, how do you even go about doing that?
It's about creating value. So you have to create a webtility is what I call it. My website, I try to give away 60% of my knowledge for absolutely free, like legally steal this stuff from me because I want a better you. And so my page is a giver. It's not a taker. Most agency websites are takers. They do the rule of the three P's. Why are you different? My people, my process, and my portfolio. That's a horse. And I'm not going to say anything else. That's shame on you for saying that. I said that in the past. Don't worry. I've made every mistake you guys have ever thought about and what you will make. The only reason I can tell you this is because I lived it and I got past it. So I can make fun of my own self. I can make fun of you because I've been there. If you think about like, they just tell you what they do and how they do it. They don't tell why. or how they can help that customer. That's the biggest difference. It's always like, here's my award that I've gotten. I've got an Addy Award. Well, great. Good. You do great design. I remember one time I lost a deal to Mellow Mushroom, and I still won't eat Mellow Mushroom pizza just because of this. And I met with them, and they said we were a close second, which a close second, you might as well be the first loser, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why did you not pick us? And they were like, I loved your process. I loved your approach. But we went with an agency that won a bunch of Addy Awards, and we want to win Addy Awards. So that was a dumb client at that time because they just wanted to win awards. So that was the wrong client. So if I took them on as a client, they would have been a bad client. Does it make sense? Am I bashing enough people?
Yeah, you are. But, you know, at the same time, I have found out that a lot of the ads being made these days on TV are not made for the people. They're made for the people that are giving awards out. So it's not for the customer. It's for the award givers. So you are making sense. I've heard this before.
Think about Apple. They do such an amazing job at their advertising and their TV ads. I mean, think of the one back in the 80s. Think different. They said, here's to the crazy ones. Here's to the rebels. They were appealing to our emotions than anything else. And so that's what people need to do, is know their audience and appeal to their emotions.
We still haven't really went over how to initially pick the niche, because if you're just starting out, you don't have clients that you can kind of look back on, right? Because a lot of this is like looking back on what you've done already. How would someone pick the niche initially, or do they initially have to go broad before they pick a niche?
No, you don't go broad. That's kind of a mistake that I've made in the past, and that we stayed around 500,000 without breaking through to the million and the multi-millions. If you're starting an agency, you know something, and you know something of value, and you can help people, hopefully. If you cannot tell me what you know better than most, do not start an agency or a business or anything. You have to know something. And so whatever you know, think about how that can apply to a certain vertical. How can that apply to a certain industry?
Yeah, but you might have a guy listening now saying, I know web design better than anyone else. I can do a website for anyone better than anyone else. How do I pick a niche?
Has to have knowledge of a certain industry. So let's say that web designer was an enthusiastic mountain biker and knew everything about mountain bikes, knew everything about the trails, knew everything about the bikes. So I would tell them, possibly your niche may need to be adventure sports, outdoors, because you've traveled around. You can design a website that's compelling to someone like you, that you understand that market. And then when you're talking to this client, you could say, hey, I went to your website. I'm a big outdoor person. I love mountain bikes, but I could not find how to fix my handlebars, or I could not find out how to buy X because I couldn't find it, or I couldn't find you in the search engines, that kind of stuff. That's how you find a niche. Yes, you understand how to do web design, but you understand something else. You have to have some other interest. So how do you mix your interests with what you know?
Yeah, but then there might be a point in the beginning of it too, where let's say the web designer does start an agency. He does go for outdoor people, but he's still not getting the leads or the cash flow. And then his neighbor, maybe a construction guy, says, hey, can you build me a website? Because, you know, that's what usually happens, right? When you start doing something, people around you might be like, hey, you know, I need a website done. And then the person just says, yeah, okay, I got this niche, but I need the money now. So how do you kind of balance those?
Yeah, so cash flow is king. So when you pick a niche, the only thing you're doing is you're marketing to that niche. If clients come to you, so like I do personal branding work for some clients, but you will never find that on my website because I'm not marketing that. But people come to me, and if I can help them out and I can show them what worked for me in building my personal brand, how I get speaking gigs and all that, then I work with them, and that meets a certain criteria. So when you pick a niche, you're only marketing to them. That's not saying you're turning down anybody outside of that industry. That's the key.
How do you start marketing to a niche like that? Because I bet everyone's thinking, okay, let's say I start the agency, I pick a niche. How do I get to those 30 to 55 leads that you just promised?
First is you need to know their biggest challenge. What are they struggling with? After you know the biggest struggle, then you need to create valuable content that helps them without you. So for example, you sign up for how to convert 80% of your marketing proposals, or if you hit my opt-in that says, here's how to get the budget 94% of the time. I'm going to deliver you the value that you want, the content that you requested. And then I'm going to send you a series of valuable content over the next couple days, couple weeks, in order to get you to like me, build credibility, and make me an authority. And then I do webinars, and then I just provide valuable insights to them. And then they start calling me.
But how do you find those initial people? Like, how do you get their initial traffic? SEO takes a long time. Social media,
Facebook marketing is the most powerful tool in the world for marketers.
How would you market it on Facebook?
You need to know your audience, whoever your audience is, and then market it to them with that opt-in. So, for example, I spend $150 a day on Facebook. That's it. And I get 25 to 55 leads a day from that. I'm not even talking about the leads I get from all the SEO traffic that it starts. Like, because you said SEO and content writing, it's about a 3-month to 6-month investment before you start seeing the fruit coming from all your hard work. But Facebook, I can turn it on tomorrow.
But how do you turn it on? Because I bet you the average listener goes on Facebook right now, sees his 35 friends, and probably none of them are the potential client. And then they're asking like, well, what's he talking about?
Yeah. Well, the whole reason, it's a huge in-depth conversation. I'm actually creating a course around this right now for a live event to teach you how to get leads every day like this using Facebook marketing and a number of other different tactics. But at the end of the day, do not do boost post and put out your blogs and boost posts. That's a waste of your money. You have to use the tools within like the Power Editor, and you have to do it specifically. The key is not to sell on Facebook. The key is to provide a value on Facebook that leads to everything else. That is the key. I mean, literally, this is if your podcast was 8 hours, we could go through it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go in depth, but I do want to make sure that people understand what you're talking about. So are we talking about ads now, or what are we talking about?
We're talking about pay-per-click on Facebook.
Pay-per-click. Okay. And is this retargeting or is it just simply targeting a niche, a group?
It's targeting a group. It's retargeting. But like I said, you have to know their biggest challenge. So in my Facebook, and some of you probably have already seen my Facebook ads. If you fit a certain criteria of mine, you'll see like, do you convert 80% of your marketing proposals? Would you like to? And then you have my big face on there and it says, here, click here to learn more. Then it goes to my landing page that I created in order to capture the information.
And what do you have on that landing page? Do you have a video opt-in? What do you have on there?
I just literally have that question again, a picture of what they're going to have or what they're going to get. So if it's a checklist, if it's a video, and then I have some sub benefits. So like the headline is a benefit. So they're going to benefit. They're going to be able to understand how a bigger agency closed 80% of their marketing proposals. Then they're going to understand how they can do a proposal in 15 minutes. Those are like the bullet points. And then it asks them, where should I send this video? Or where should I send this checklist? And that page that I have, if you go to the website, you'll see it. It converts 42%. So 42% of the people that actually hit that page give me their email.
That's a good number. So once people get the email, what kind of an autoresponder sequence do you have? When is the upsell coming?
Right on the thank you page for confirming. I give them an upsell right then and there. They're the most hot and bothered to understand and to like me. And so I give them right on the thank you page. And then over the past couple of days, I give them more value. And there's always a little upsell story around in there as well.
Very cool. If someone was starting out, would you recommend they go after small clients or large corporate clients? Because you do mention a lot of big names on your website.
Well, it depends. It really depends on what you guys want to do. Bigger clients take a little more time. I mean, it depends on the end goal. So if you're an agency and you want to sell your company like we did, you have to get bigger clients. Companies are not going to buy agencies, and I'm just talking about in the agency space. They're not going to buy other agencies that have 1,000 little clients, unless you're like web.com or something like that. But their revenue was astronomical. But if you want to build a lifestyle business, if you want to just do it for a job and make money and have fun and have a great team and control it yourself, then you have that luxury of picking the smaller clients. Bigger clients are harder to get into. Smaller clients are, I thought, I had a lot more fun, and it was way more rewarding working with the smaller clients. And so some of the smaller clients for us may have been 20 million to 5 billion that you've never heard of, right? Everybody wants the brand names. We only went after a couple of the brand names just so we could position ourselves to sell and use them as leverage in order to get the smaller clients to establish credibility.
If someone was to go after those big brands, where would you send them? Is there a resource that maybe someone can look at?
Well, so I did an interview with Del Ross. He was the vice president of marketing of IHG, International Hotel Group. And I did this on my podcast. It's episode 4. So it's jasonswank.com/4. And I said, how can a smaller agency call in IHG and get your attention? And he said, well, I'll tell you how you cannot get into me and how you can get a conversation with me. So the first part he said is, the number one thing people do is call him up and say, hey, Del, I'd love to take you out to lunch or golf and see how we can work together. He says, this is, you know, BS. I'm not going to help you figure out how you can work with me. And you'll never get a second call. I'll never pick up your phone call. I'll screen it all day long. And I said, okay, well, great. That's the number one thing of not to do. Well, what would work? And he goes, you have to be laser focused. And if you say you're a full service agency, you're lying because you can't do it because you don't have over 100 people. And he knows you're just trying to go after everything. And he says, here's how you do it. He goes, hey, Del, we work with a lot of people in the hospitality industry. And I wanted to see if you were using the Power Editor in Facebook. It's one of the number one tools in order to increase your visibility and your reach in Facebook. He'd be like, no, I'm not using it. He would spend anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 as a test project if you could bring something unique and innovative to him. That's how you get into the bigger guys. Like, for example, we got into Porsche. I'm into car racing. So when we got into Lotus, it was really cool. I was like, one of my sales guys said, what accounts do you want? I said, I'd love to get Porsche. And that's really kind of the only outbound that we did after the car market. So we called Porsche and said, hey, we've done a lot of research in your industry and we've done a lot of work for Lotus Cars. We would love to chat with you and share a lot of some of our knowledge that we have gained in the automotive space in your particular, you know, market. We got that meeting all day long. We did that with a lot of other, you know, big automotive companies as well. So you have to be specific.
That's awesome. All right, Jason, tell people where they can find you.
Everything's on my website. So if you go to jasonswank.com, and Swank is spelled with an E, not like Hillary Swank with an A, so with an E, everything's there. All my connections on social media. And like I said, I try to give away almost all my knowledge on the website just to benefit you guys. And reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Lee Bell. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.